Well, I thank the Lord for saving me. I owed a debt I could not pay. Nothing I could do. Nothing I could say. Stand before Him guilty. But I thank the Lord that He went to the cross of Calvary and died for us all. And I stand here redeemed tonight because of His grace. I was thinking as they were singing that song, how firm a foundation. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, here it is. The Lord knoweth them that are His. You see, everybody that's saved is going to make it to that place called heaven. I hadn't seen anybody who wanted to renege on the deal yet. Not even myself. You see, serving the Lord has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Him coming to me, saving me, is the best thing that ever happened in my life. And I can look back on my life and see how the Lord laid things out step by step, place by place, and He drew me by His marvelous grace, by the Holy Ghost. I thank Him that the foundation of God standeth sure. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. I want to read the whole book tonight. It's a short book. It's composed of 25 verses. But let me tell you what, it's one of the strongest messages, I believe, that the Lord has laid on me. And it was preached unto me by somebody else. But the Lord, and I don't know why the Lord would have me to do it tonight, but it's on my heart to do it. And we'll begin reading in the book of Philemon, verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, for which we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee to that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was unto thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but as above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through thy prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I need your help tonight, Lord. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you breathe on this message. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you do only what you can do tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Thank you for a good church to be in on Wednesday night, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in our reading, you'll find a very interesting story. It involves people needing forgiveness. You see, the book of Philemon has no real doctrine based in it. You'll find its place between the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and then which are full of how the church shall be ran and full of doctrine. It's also right before the book of Hebrews, which is full of doctrine about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is doctrine? That's the teachings of Christ left for the church, things that we would obey and do because it was what the Bible tells us to do because it was doctrinal. But let me tell you what, how many of you can agree tonight that everything that comes up in our life, all the problems that we face, is not only is not probably a doctrinal issue, but it's a personal issue. Let me tell you what tonight, the book of Philemon is a personal book. It's written about two people, and the two main characters of the story you will find is by the name of Philemon, and then by a man by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave to Philemon. Onesimus has stolen something from Philemon, and he had fled to Rome to get asylum, to see if, said, if I can run away from old Philemon and he'll never see me again. But while he was over in Rome and he had run away from his master, guess what had happened to him? The Lord had saved him over there in Rome under Paul's preaching, and Paul was going to be a mediator or bring reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon. He would take those two and bridge them together. Thank God for mediators that are godly wisdom and godly counsel that can guide us and get, and when we've done wrong and we don't know what to do, thank God they can take our hand in one hand and the hand of the other one and bring us all together. I know a man by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, when I couldn't get to heaven, he took all me that was full of hell and full of myself, and he took me up and he raised me to God and became my mediator, a testator. Is what the Bible calls him. Here we find a people needing a personal issue raised of forgiveness. You see, I find in my own life that I'm always find myself on not the forgiving end. I need forgiveness myself. You see, in this story, Onesimus had done everything wrong. But let me tell you what, it all changed when the Lord saved his soul. And Paul said, I'm going to send you back with this letter to Philemon and make reconciliation between the two. You see, not only was Onesimus saved under Paul's preaching, Philemon was also saved under Paul's preaching. And Paul was a spiritual father to both of them. And I see that a lot of times in our life, we don't have doctrinal issues, but we have personal issues. And I'm glad God, how many of you can agree with this with me tonight? I'm glad God can put personal book into the Bibles that we can read so as we might later on have personal issues in our own life that we would even deal with in this thing with forgiveness. And I'll tell you this by experience tonight, this thing of forgiveness is one of the hardest things that you'll ever face in your life if you really need true forgiveness. You see, a lot of people would play on people's emotions tonight and say they are hurt, but they're not really hurt just to get a manipulative response out of somebody else. Let me tell you, but when you ever have to give true forgiveness, it is something that's going to come, not something that you can do, but it's going to have to be something the Lord can do. And I've entitled this tonight, Forgiveness is by Faith. Forgiveness is by faith. You see, first of all, you'll see there's a problem that has to be faced. You see, this thing of forgiveness can never be swept under the rug. How many of you have ever tried to sweep something under the rug? Let me tell you what, this thing of forgiveness can never be swept under the rug, and I can tell you why. Because it will begin to grow on you. It'll be like a cancer that begins down at the tip of your foot and eats you up to the bottom of your feet, to the top of your head, and both ways down. This thing of unforgiveness. You see, Paul knew that it would eat Philemon to death. And if we've read that story, if you'll notice in the first five verses, you'll notice something special was going on at Philemon's house. The Bible said he was having church in his house. See, Liberty Baptist Church wasn't the first church to start in somebody's house. Philemon had done that a long time ago down in the town of Colossae. And he said, if the Lord is going to move in your church, you're going to have some forgiveness. And I've noticed in my own life that I have to give forgiveness to people that's hurt me and have injured me. And not because I wanted to, but because it was required of me because I was a Christian. You see, there was a man named Jesus one time where I stood and I needed forgiveness. And the only way I could get to heaven was be forgiven by Him. Onesimus found himself with a debt that he could not pay. You see, he was bankrupt physically. And what Onesimus could not pay physically, Philemon could not pay spiritually. Philemon had to muster up everything that was inside of him. No doubt, as Philemon thought about what Onesimus has done to him, and he'd fled out and left him hanging. He said, I wonder what Onesimus is doing in his life. And no doubt, the thing of forgiveness is something that will rise up in you when it's least expected. And it'll cause frustrations, and it'll cause anger, and it'll cause bitterness, and it'll cause everything that's inside of you that God's trying to take out of you to rise up in you. It's a problem that has to be faced. It can never be swept under the rug. Look in verse number 14. The Bible says, but without thy mind, I do nothing. Would I do nothing that thy benefit should be as it were of necessity? But what's that next word? Willingly. Paul is saying this. He said, Philemon, if you'll agree to it, I want you to forgive Onesimus, but I don't want you to do it because you had to. But I want you to do it because you want to. You see, I remember the story of a little boy that was giving his mom and daddy trouble in church. Anybody got a witness right there? He told his son, he said, son, you need to sit down and be quiet. And that old boy was all red-faced, and he didn't want to mind his mom and his daddy. And that boy said, daddy, I sat down. I sat down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a standing up. And a lot of times with this thing on forgiveness, you know where we find ourselves? We may have sat down, but there's still stuff inside of us that's still boiling up, and it's making our face red. And if people could really look down in our own soul, it would be steam coming out, and there'd be things coming out of our ears that only the Lord knows. Because it's easy to hide unforgiveness. But let me tell you what it is. One man said it was like this. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. It's like setting yourself on fire and hoping the other person will die from the smoke. We find ourselves in that situation sometimes. We find it where it eats us alive and it's not doing anything for the other person. You say, well, I'll forgive them if they'll get right. Maybe they'll get right if you forgive them. You see, a lot of times our the people that we, our worst enemy aren't people that are out in the world. A lot of times it's people that are saved. Can I get a witness right there? You see, if you look down in verse number 5, look what Paul told him. Paul said, howbeit of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and what? And toward all saints. Let me tell you what. A lot of times not our people on the outside. It may be people on the inside we have trouble with and have a hard time forgiving. I've noticed in my own life it's easier to forgive somebody on the outside than it is in my own home or in my own family. Or on my own job that I've worked with all that time. You know why? David said it was his special, his friend, his acquaintance, that he walked hand in hand to the house of God that disturbed him the most. Let me tell you what, those people we live with the most will find the hardest to forgive. If you're not careful, that stuff will eat in you, and it won't hurt them as much as it does you. And if you get right, maybe they'll get right. He said, toward all saints. You see, I noticed serving Jesus, the problem is not with Jesus. The problem, I've never had a problem with Jesus. The problem I've had is with the people that Jesus puts in my life. You see, a lot of times we go down to our job, we go down to our workplace, and we try to figure out what's going on, and Jesus has put somebody in your life, and now they've injured you, and now they've hurt you, or they brought something special into your life, and now you have a hard time forgiving them. I remember out witnessing one time, I can remember it plain as day if it was yesterday. I was down in the Mill Village in Roanoke, and we was out inviting people to church. And I remember knocking on this man's door. I knocked on his door, and nobody came. And I knocked on again. He finally came to the door, and I said, here, I'm just out, sir, I'm out here inviting people to church. I've been wondering if you want to come to church with us if you don't go to church anywhere. Slammed the door right in my face. And I said, Lord have mercy. Ain't it good to serve Jesus? And I thought about it, and the Lord wouldn't have me leave. I knocked on his door again. He come back up to the door. And I said, sir, I said, I don't know who's hurt you, but I just wanted to give you this tract. And you take it, and you can read it whenever you have time. And that man told me this. He said, I got hurt down at the church years ago. Let me tell you what, he had unforgiveness in his heart. And that stuff is sticking with people and is plaguing God's people across this nation and in our churches, where they have unforgiveness in their heart and they're not able to bear it, and they harbor that stuff and take out things that they never would have done or never said, and they take it out on other people. It's a problem that has to be faced. Paul said in our verse, he said it can't be. He said that thy benefit should be, as it were, of a necessity, but willingly. You see, Paul said it wasn't a mechanical process. You see, a lot of times we'd like to think that we can come down on this altar and pray in 5 minutes and have forgiveness. But sometimes it don't work like that. You see, sometimes it takes a little more than that. It takes faith. We'll see that later on. I'm going to show you what the disciples said about this thing of forgiveness with faith. But it's a problem that has to be faced. Paul said it's not a mechanical response. You see, Paul could have said, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Onesimus. I'll just write this letter and I'll send it down to Colossae, and somebody else can hand it to Philemon. But that ain't what happened. You know what he wanted him to do? He wanted Onesimus, that had been saved, and he wanted Philemon, who had been saved, to be able to show that they could reconcile their differences through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'll write this letter, but I don't want you to forgive him just because I wrote you this letter. I want you to do it willingly. Not because you had to, but because you wanted to. And a lot of times, like that little boy said, I'm standing up on the inside. A lot of times we find ourselves in that same place, to where God told us to go forgive somebody, and us in our pride said we'll be the bigger person. Let me tell you what, you ain't been the bigger person. And you'll see that later on too. It's a problem that has to be faced, because it'll eat at us and begin to tear us apart and begin to destroy the very person and the very being Christ wants you to be. It's a problem that has to be faced. Not only that, you'll see it's a process that has to be embraced. Look down in verse number 15. The Bible says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shalt receive him forever. It's a process that has to be embraced. You see, this process always demands restoration. You see, a lot of times we want to give people forgiveness, but we don't want to restore them. We say we want to go to heaven with them, but we don't want to go to church with them. We don't want to have anything to do with who we forgive. God didn't want it that way. It always demands restoration. I'm glad when I approached the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't say if He did better or if He turned over a new leaf. I'm glad He took me just as I was, and He's still keeping me today, even though all the things I've done to Him. It's a problem that has to be faced. Not only that, it's a process that has to be embraced. You see, it's not one little minute prayer that's going to do it. Every day of your life, you're going to get up and have to face that same thing. Face that same problem. Embrace that process. And you say, what's that process have to do? You see, if you look in that verse that we just read, he said, perhaps. I want to say this. God may not restore all relationships, but let me tell you this. He has the power to. For perhaps. You see, it was not a guarantee. It was not a warranty of their situation. Paul did not know that if Philemon would restore Onesimus. He said, I'll send you with this letter. And I guarantee you this. Paul said, you take this letter and tell him I sent you. And you know what that did? That gave Philemon confidence in Paul, and not only in Paul, but in Onesimus. And I'm glad when I need forgiveness, there may be somebody that'll stand in my stead and say, if you'll take him, it's like receiving me. And that's what Paul was doing with Onesimus. It's a process that has to be embraced. How many of you have ever done this? You've got yourself a list. And all the people that you've done that's done you wrong, you start marking them off your list. Anybody ever done that? Say, I ain't got no place for him anymore. He's gone. She did me wrong. Mark them off. You know what happens to those folks? They grow old and alone. And let me tell you this. This is for all you married folks, including myself. Let me tell you what, there's going to be some times you've got to give some forgiveness. It's a problem that has to be faced, but not only that, it's a process that has to be embraced. For perhaps. There was no guarantee. I read a story of a woman that had been bitten by a raccoon. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, sure enough, you got rabies. And he began to notice the lady, what she was doing. She began to write down some stuff on a piece of paper. And he said, "What are you doing, writing your will?" And the lady looked up and said, "No, I'm writing down all the people I'm fixing to bite." I know some folks like that too. I have to keep my head on my shoulder, make sure where's the way to run with those folks. But that's the way, a lot like we are. We're looking for people who we can bite with our unforgiveness. And as that man slammed that door in my face that day, all that stuff that he had harbored in his soul, he was just like that woman that had taken that rabies, got that rabies. It's a process that has to be embraced. Not only is the perhaps of the situation, but the permanence of the situation. Look what he said. He said, "Though he departed for a season, that thou shalt receive him forever." He was saying this. He was gone for a little while, but if you would give him forgiveness, guess what? He might be restored forever. And we'll see what happened to Onesimus later on in the story. Let me tell you what, this thing of unforgiveness, it'll eat at you. But I tell you what, a lot of times we don't want to give people restoration. I'll forgive them, but I don't want anything to do with them. And that's not the way God wants us to be. Paul was teaching Philemon that if you restored this brother, guess what? He might be your best brother that you ever had. He might be your sidekick. He might be one of your right-hand men. It's not up to us who God brings in and out of our lives. God will bring people into your life. He'll also take people out of your life. But let Him be the judge of that. I remember my wife loved to do weddings, and we used to do events. You know, and she loved to do it and I'd help her. And I remember one time there was an issue that came up of some people that we knew. And our relationship was gone after that. But God, He later on restored that. But let me tell you what, we are not as close then, I mean now, as we was back then. But let me tell you what, God had moved them out of our life. But we let God do it. We didn't move them out. And a lot of times we want to judge who we take in our life and who we take out. But let God do that. Let God bring people in your life and let God remove people in your life. And I'll close with this. Forgiveness is by faith. You'll see, it's a problem that has to be faced. It's a process that has to be embraced. And I want to say lastly, it's a perspective that has to be erased. I want you to look at your Bible, what Paul said here. Look in verse number 16. Look what he said. He said, "Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou therefore count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself." I want to say, first of all, you'll see the pattern. Look what Paul said in that. See, we're all right forgiving folks if we got them way down here. And we're way up here, like, "Look at me. Look how big I am. I forgave you." And you don't want them to forget it. But let me tell you what Paul said. He said, don't leave him down there. He said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to bring him up to where you are. And then I want to take him a little bit higher so that you esteem him higher than yourself." Look what he said. You know, Onesimus was a slave. He says, "Not now as a servant." See, Onesimus, all his life, he knew to do was serve Philemon. That was his life. Every day that he got up, he knew how to be a slave. Every day that he got up, he knew what it was like to serve somebody else and be a servant of somebody else. And he's always been down here, but not with God. God said, "I tell you what, Philemon, I don't want you to just leave him as a slave." He said, "Bring him up to be a servant." And not only a servant, look what he said to be. A brother. But he didn't even leave him in there. Look at that adjective he put behind that word brother. He said, "A beloved brother." I'm glad tonight we have some beloved brothers that we thought at one time were way down here. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ that God can bring them way up here and that we can esteem them higher than ourselves. See, a lot of times we can't look past ourselves and we operate in unforgiveness because of it. He said, "Not only as a servant, but a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and the Lord." And look what he said in verse 18. In verse 17, he said, "Thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself." You know what the Apostle Paul was saying? He said, "I want you to treat him as if I came over to your house." You see, if the Apostle Paul would have stepped into Philemon's house, you know what Philemon would have done? He would have gave him the master bedroom suite. He would have gave him the best towels, those that we don't put out for company, but for company. Those are the towels that your wife won't let you use. She'll let you use them for the best company. You know what he would have done? Philemon would have set out the best he had. He would have had the best food that he could eat if Paul was coming. He said, I tell you what I want you to do. When Onesimus gets there, I want you to do everything that you would have done for me. I want you to do it for him. And that'll let him know that you've restored him. You see, in our mind, you know what we'd have done? We'd have been okay forgiving him as long as we kept him way down here. And in our mind, we say, look what we've done. Look what we're doing for you and what you've done to us. But God said, don't do that. He said, you bring him way up here. And you keep yourself way down here. And a lot of times we operate with ourselves way up here and putting them way down here. And God doesn't want that to be so. God said, you raise them up way above what you are and operate in forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is taking your worst enemy and treating him as your greatest hero. You see, our problem is not always with doctrinal issues. It could be a personal issue with forgiveness. And I'll leave you one story tonight. I remember reading about a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a missionary to Nazi Germany, and her family had housed all the Jews back in the time where the devil possessed Adolf Hitler, and they was taking those Jews in their house and hiding them. They got caught doing it, and they put her in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, and she watched all the abuse that all those German soldiers would do to her all the days, and her sisters and all of her family thrown into jail and in this concentration camp. She watched her own sister die in this concentration camp. She watched them abuse them. She watched them starve to death. She was released December the 31st, 1944. She spent her next few years going around to churches. You know what she was speaking on? She was speaking on God's forgiveness. One day she got into a church in Munich, Germany. And she began to speak on this subject of forgiveness. She noticed as she was in the basement of that church speaking to a group of people, and she noticed that a man had came in the door. As she began to speak, that man, she sat there and she began to notice him. He was a heavy-set man. He was balding. He had a gray overcoat, and he had his hat clutched between his hands. And as she began to do her speech and all that and tell him how God had, brought him in to the concentration camp and she had forgiven them, after the thing was over, the man got up and began to approach her. As the man approached her, she noticed what the man was wearing. He had on his dark overcoat. He had put his hat on his head. And on that hat had a skull and crossbones. And as soon as she saw it, she recognized who it was. It was one of those soldiers that was in that concentration camp. And the man began to approach her. All that thought that she had been preaching on forgiveness and speaking on forgiveness and telling everybody how good God was and how He forgiven and how He forgive folks, all that stuff rose up in her just like that. You see, this thing, forgiveness, is not something that you can just do by yourself. If you can do it by yourself, guess what? It probably ain't much thing that went on to you. But let me tell you what, when you got true forgiveness, you need some help from God. All that stuff rose up in her in a split second. And she remembered how those people treated her and her family and how they killed her sister. All that stuff ran through her mind in a split second. The man approached her. He came on up to her and he said, ma'am, you may not remember me, but I was one of those soldiers down in Ravensbrück that you was talking about. And as he began to approach her, he said, I want to tell you two things. He said, I got saved, and I'm now a Christian. He said, I want you to know that. And he said, secondly, he said, I want you to forgive me for what we did back then in those days. And in her book, this is recorded in her book, The Hiding Place, an autobiography written in 1971. She began to record this. She said, all that thought that she had of all that unforgiveness rose up in her in no time at all, in a split second. And here was a man right in front of her with his hand out. And what was she going to do after telling everybody else how she was able to forgive them? She said this. She prayed. She said, Jesus, help me. And all that was within her, she said the Lord Himself helped her reach out her hand and grab that man and said, "By faith, I forgive thee." There's a story about the disciples in Luke chapter number 17. You remember Peter?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter number 18, Peter said, "Lord, if somebody trespasses against me, how often should I forgive them?" He said, "Till seven times." He asked the Lord that question. That'd be my question. "Lord, seven times, that's enough. If it's an eighth, man, it's over with." Seven times? Jesus said, "No." He said, 70 times seven. If you read that same account found in Luke number 17, chapter 17, it says this. As soon as he said that, the disciples said this, "Lord, increase our faith." You see, this thing of forgiveness is by faith. You see, you'll only be able to give people by faith, by what God has done for you. It's not some mechanical process that you can work out in 5 minutes, but true forgiveness is by faith. It's something you may rise up. As Corrie ten Boom rose up and said, "I forgive them," but in a split second, that stuff rose back up in her, and she remembered all that stuff that she'd been injured with. And a lot of us struggle with those same things, where we find that people that have hurt us and people have injured us, and all that thing of unforgiveness can rise up in us quick. Let me tell you what you're going to have to do with that. You're going to have to forgive by faith and not operate by sight. A lot of times we find ourselves operating by sight, but God would have us to operate by faith. Forgiveness is by faith. Appreciate your attention tonight.